Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jones. Bowden.
He's got it.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. A look back at the third day's play from the Aegeus Bowl in this World Test Championship final between India and New Zealand. And, well, it's been another really interesting day after the blank first day and the interrupted second day. We've had pretty much a full day's cricket today. A little bit of an early finish because of bad light, but otherwise some really good interactions between both teams, which has left the situation New Zealand 101 for 2, 116 behind. And I think they've had the best of the day, do you?
New Zealand, yeah, definitely. It's been a great day for them. I mean, I think we always felt that India could be dropped for 220, and they were dropped for fewer than that, 217. Great effort from New Zealand today. What do they lose? Their last seven wickets for 68 runs, India. And of course, inevitably, we talked Virat Kohli out, didn't we? It happens sometimes. We did that whole podcast on him yesterday. 10 years since he played his first test match today, the anniversary of it. And he came out overnight. He was 44 not out, all set up. We talked about Pant as well. You know, what a great prospect for the crowd. Kohli and Pant batting together. Pant made four and Kohli did not add. So, but there we go. I mean, that's cricket, isn't it? And it was not their day, but it does emphasise how well Kohli batted yesterday, that conditions were difficult. It was Kyle Jameson's day, really, or morning anyway.
Definitely. And I think the interesting thing about him, the impressive thing about him, not only his height and his skill, one of the only bowlers, actually, apart from Jimmy Anderson, who genuinely swings the ball both ways at a decent pace. You know, he's above 80 miles an hour, and he does genuinely bowl an outswinger and an inswinger. And sometimes his inswinger is a bit telegraphed, but he still does actually make it swing in. But the other thing I think which is really good about him is his smartness, his intelligence, because I think on the first day, the second day of the match, or the first day of actual play, I felt he was a bit short generally, and he bowled some sort of stonking deliveries, but they were a little bit wide and a little bit short and were either dealt with or left by the Indians. Today, he pitched it up. And it's not always easy to do that as a tall bowler because you have a natural length. You know, you tend to run in and bowl, and a lot of tall bowlers will have a natural length which is a bit short. And when they try and bowl full, and this was very much the case with somebody like Andy Caddick in the past, when they tried to bowl full, they floated it and it was easy to hit. Stephen Finn, actually, is another one who has been a bit like that in the past. But Kyle Jameson was able to find just a slightly fuller length and still be very demanding and potent. In fact, we did a little bit of analysis on Hawkeye for the ICC TV coverage, which showed that his length yesterday was about 70 centimetres shorter than today. So today he was just over half a metre fuller. And that sounds a lot, but actually It's not, when you're bowling over 22 yards, half a metre isn't a massive amount, but it's subtly important because it draws the batsman forward and it gets the edges and gets the LBWs as well. And that's what he got today. Two LBWs, Kohli, who he managed to draw forward and beat with the inside, beat the inside edge of the bat with a little bit of an in-swinger or a nip-backer. And then he got a boomer out with a kind of classic big booming in-swinger, palpably LBW first ball. But, I mean, just generally, he also, sorry to continue, but he also actually started to pant round the wicket and found the swing too much, couldn't control it. So, because we were able to go over the wicket, and that caused the wicket of pant in the end caught behind going across him from over the wicket.
Yeah, it didn't look a great shot, did it?
It was a shit shot, actually, if we're too bones about it.
You want to be blunt about it, yeah. I mean, it was a very wide delivery, and with Pant, he'd dug in, hadn't he? He'd bided his time. It took him quite a long time to get off the mark, and he hit it for four, and he bowled one out there, and he went after it in sort of that fairly impetuous manner. I mean, he's such an exciting cricketer, Pant, and I'm sure that the Indian supporters who turned up today would have been extremely disappointed to see the back of him. So Kohli and Pant out inside the first hour of the match. Just on Jameson, how easy or otherwise is it to say, he's already well to say, bowl a bit fuller. How easy or otherwise is it to do that as a bowler?
No, it's not easy at all because, as I say, you have your natural length.
Right.
Why not? Because you're conditioned to bowl a particular place.
Yeah.
That's where you've sort of had most of your success. And to find a pitch, and I suppose the other thing is, on a flatter pitch, his great asset is the bounce he gets, which makes him hard to score off. So that slightly back of the length attack makes batsmen a bit wary of being able to attack, and also they're reluctant to come forward because of his height. And interestingly, there's a stat about India against tall bowlers, and they do struggle. This particular India side will have a little bit of a fallibility against slightly taller bowlers. But it isn't easy to adjust your length, and what tends to happen is if you try and go, say, half a metre fuller, you end up a metre fuller bowling half volleys and, as I say, floating it. Your biomechanics are sort of set up to bowl in a certain place, and that's where your natural biorhythms work the best. So you have to sort of override that slightly, and that takes trial and error, actually. It's not a question of, I'll just look at this spot on the wicket and aim at it. Bowling is about feel, and therefore, it does take a bit of experimentation of your own biomechanics to get the ball in the right place. But he did, very consistently and deserved those five wickets. And here's a stat from one of our World's Best Cricket Club members. This is Pushkar, actually, from India, who says that he's got a list here of the most five wicket hauls in their first eight test matches. Top of the list is T. Richardson, who was an England player in the 1920s, who did 10 five-wicket hauls in his first eight tests. He was rapid, actually. And I think he took, for Surrey, I think he took something like 280 wickets in a season. So he was a serious bowler. C.T.B. Turner, don't know much about him, eight times. Vernon Philander, six times five-wicket hauls in his first eight tests. And then a bunch of bowlers on five times a five-wicket haul in their first eight tests, including Ashwin and Beefy Botham and others like the Frederick the Demon Spofforth and Kyle Jameson. Yeah. So he's in elite company now.
And he's taken more wickets in his first eight test matches than any other New Zealand bowler. And you think of, someone like Richard Hadley, for example. Although Hadley was a bit of a wild, wasn't he, to start with? He was a bit of a tearaway.
Yeah.
And then he sort of worked it all out and then became an absolutely magnificent bowler. And actually, I was just thinking about that today. If Richard Hadley, New Zealand did well, didn't they? But if Richard Hadley had been playing out there, I mean, it makes you wonder how many India would have got in that first. Perfect conditions.
No, you're right. I mean, I hate sounding like in my day.
Yeah.
But I mean, Richard Hadley was an absolutely perfect bowler for these conditions. I remember watching him bowl at Trent Bridge once on a pitch which was a bit green like this, and he was totally unplayable by all really sort of top class players. Of course, there was a famous test match in Brisbane, I mean, just to prove that he did do it at international level as well. He got 14 wickets in the match in Brisbane on a slightly green but hard surface like this one here at the Aegeus Bowl, and he got about 12 Australians caught second slip. and just the same ball, curving away, extra bounce, zip, edge, caught, second slip. Fantastic. So he would have been a big handful here, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder whether New Zealand ultimately will slightly regret, I mean, because it's a race against time, that first wicket partnership from India where they were 62 for no wicket on the first day, which helped them get over the 200 mark. It has been really hard work for all the batters out there. I mean, New Zealand, whether they set their stall out to bat in that particular way because they'd seen how India had struggled, I'm not sure. But, it was hard work for them as well. But Rahane, I mean, he played as well as anybody, didn't he, Rahane? And everyone played a miss. Didn't look like getting out. And then lo and behold, it's amazing, isn't it, cricket? Lo and behold, Neil Wagner says, right, I'm going to show you all my cards. Here we go. Leg trap, men back on the leg side area. New ball just about to come, but we'll do something with before the new ball. And Rahane, lo and behold, hits the first ball with everyone back straight to forward square leg. I think it looked to me as if he was trying to play a sort of guided pull to get the single to bring up his half century. And you almost had to need a forklift truck to get him off the crease because he was, so disappointed. You can understand it, really, because he'd actually played pretty well.
Mm. Yeah, and it's one of those innings, well, I think both innings actually have been. There's a lot of luck involved for the batsman, lots of playing and missing. Not actually that many edges going to hand. There was only one drop catch. I think Southey dropped a catch.
That was unusual to see it go down, actually. New Zealand are normally so good in this circle.
Yeah, really only one drop catch, but quite a lot of playing missing and quite a lot of fair bit of playing missing by New Zealand when they batted. This pitch is like, I think it's quite similar to the pitch at Trent Bridge when Stuart Broad bowled Australia out for 60. It's a little bit, a tinge of green. There's overhead conditions enhancing the movement, and it's got good carry. You know, it's got good bounce. And of course, Australia bowled out for 60. Everything that moved, they edged. Mm. And everything that was edged was caught. In this test match so far, quite a lot has moved, but it's gone past the edge or been left. And that was another little bit of credit to the New Zealanders particularly, and to a lesser extent, the Indians as well, on the first day of actual play. Leaving the ball, how well they left the ball. Today, especially Latham, the way he left the ball to Jasprit Bumrah early on, he left the ball on length, knowing it was going to bounce over the stumps, and his judgment was absolutely impeccable. So we've seen actually high-class batting from both teams, especially the opening pairs of both sides. Very different styles. The Indians coming at the ball, standing out of their crease, and really trying to smother the movement. The New Zealanders back on their crease trying to play it as late as possible. So two very different styles of technique, but both teams making 50 opening stands. I suppose you could call this the Mission Tea Break. Mission Teas are a range of herbal products invented by Tom Whittle, who was cycling around South America and finding that he was getting very tired. And then he was revived by a range of Argentinian teas based on the herbs yerba mate and matcha, renowned for their slow release of energy, and also rooibos, famous for its anti-inflammatory effect. And as a result, Tom's created a range of Mission teas that help with hydration, energy boosts, relaxation, and even sleep. And they are now being taken by quite a number of sports stars, cricketers and footballers, and even me. And actually, I found them very beneficial and actually quite nice to drink as well. And I'm sleeping better as well as all that. So I highly recommend them. Mission are offering listeners of this podcast 20% off your first order if you go to missionuk.com and type in the code cricketer20 at checkout. That's missionuk.com. And use the code CRICKETER20.
Now, something we said yesterday, something you said yesterday about Kohli, that he averages 50 in all three formats, and you said you couldn't think of anyone else who's done that. Of course, Devon Conway has done that. It's very early in his international career, of course. In a way, the stat is a bit bogus, isn't it? Because it will, over time, it'll come down. But he averages over 50 in one-day national cricket and in T20 and in test cricket as well. I mean, he's had an incredible start to his international.
Damn, you fooled my, well, no, my I mean, unique stat. But well, that's no, quite right.
No, but I mean, in a way, I get your point because you want someone, you know, with a body of stats behind them. Whereas Conway is only, you know, he's his third Test match and he hasn't played much international cricket, but he's made a great start to his international career. He was out just before the close. I mean, that is so galling for a player, isn't it? To get out just before the players come off for bad luck. Good catch by Bumrah, Ishant Sharma. But again, Conway, you know, playing really, really solidly. Where's this match going, I wonder? I mean, with three full days of which we have available, then you could say, yeah, good chance of, or reasonable chance of an outright result. The only problem is the forecast for Monday and the fourth official day of the game, although actually the third day in terms of playing time, I suppose, or hopefully in terms of playing time, the forecast is really not good. So we could, I mean, I'm sorry, folks, we could have a whole day knocked out tomorrow. It feels to me, just looking at the forecast, that if we do get any play tomorrow, it will be, you know, bonus cricket, really. So what we're looking at, Yoz, is New Zealand 116 behind with 2 days of cricket left. In theory, 98 overs. I mean, the light might come into play as well, you know, on the other 2 days. We didn't get all the overs in today. And we wouldn't have done, even if we played to 7 o'clock, we still would have been well short on the overs today. You were pretty confident yesterday about, you know, even with the time left, of having an outright result in the game. I mean, presumably there, the draw, a share of the prize money, splitting the mace in half is the most likely outcome, isn't it? Are you still wedded to a positive outcome? You can still see a situation where there would be a positive outcome, but realistically, what do you think?
I'm just trying to find the... Sorry, I did have... okay. Well, I mean, it all depends how much play we get, really. Mm. I think if we can get two full days,
you think?
We could get a result. Mm. If we get less than 2 days, it's a struggle. Because both teams' batting's pretty determined. The New Zealanders bat quite a long way down. I can see the New Zealanders getting a bit of a lead, not much of a lead. Of course, the other thing about these conditions is the slow outfield because of the wet and quite long grass, etc. 217 that India made is probably more like 250. Mm. But the New Zealanders will struggle. It will take a bit of time for them to get past India, if they do. And I think they will, probably not much. You know, you're going to get scores of around 200 to 215, probably potentially all four innings. So there's not a lot of time to force a result. And I know that I looked at the Betfair exchange sort of midway through the afternoon, and it was looking like, you know, 50, 60% draw as the most likely outcome, with India slightly more favourites to win. But that can change.
I can't see India winning in this match in the time available, really, realistically.
No,
I
mean, not enough time to bowl.
Well, I think it's more like if it becomes a sort of mainly a three innings game with a bit of a fourth innings, then you could see then you know that's the most likely outcome, it seems to me. I don't see a full four innings. It's going to be hard to get those in the time available unless, you know, teams just suddenly start falling in a heap. I think there is plenty there for the bowlers, but everything is happening very slowly. It feels like it's a real arm wrestle of a test match, this. Mm. Scoring rates have been low. I mean, New Zealand scoring at two and over. And India, after that opening stand of 62, I mean, the run rate, again, had been really low. It's just been really, that old cliche, runs were hard to come by. You know, it's one that's been used a lot about cricket, and that's what it's been like. Whether it's a great... it has been intriguing because the battle has been so fierce out there. Whether it's been a great advert for Test cricket, I don't know. I mean, perhaps the weather has been the problem, that you always sense you're battling against time a bit. But you also want the top class batsmen to flourish a bit and to better play their shots and to score quickly on occasions. Or you need someone to come in and change the dynamic of the game. You know, like a Rishabh Pant to come out there and bash 50 or 60 quite quickly in an hour or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need that cut and thrust a bit to make it into a classic game. It doesn't really feel like that. And I, the weather has got something to do with that, and the conditions as well, and the quality of the two bowling attacks.
One little note of credit that you may not have noticed, And that is that BJ Watling, the New Zealand keeper, didn't concede a single bye in this innings. And I actually cut together a sequence of his takes, and I was about sort of 15 of them, diving in all directions, saving balls that swung dramatically after going past the bat, or flicking the pad and dying, bouncing twice, or soaring off a length and taken head high with a little bit of sort of movement after the ball had gone past the bat. And he just gloved everything immaculately. And I've never really noticed him that much before. I suppose, is that a mark of a cliched mark of a good keeper? Is they're unobtrusive? But he just gloves the ball so beautifully in his last test match. And although I know it was a shortish innings, 217 all out, but no buys in those conditions with the ball swinging and seaming all over the place was really impressive.
Yeah, he was excellent. He really was. I suppose one of the things about BJ Watling is we just don't see much of him because New Zealand don't play that much Test cricket in England, do they? I mean,
I know you've seen him bat for about 2.5 days.
It was 11 hours and 7 minutes for his double 100 in Mount Maunganui. I mean, it was so effective. It really was. But I mean, it wasn't what you call a thing of beauty, actually. It was a bit like this Test match in a way. It was damn hard work. So there we go. We had one emailer who contacted us today and say, for the good of the game, why don't India and New Zealand agree to play this match to a finish? So, you know, the old sort of timeless test, which took us back to that amazing timeless test in Durban, which wasn't quite a timeless test because, of course, it ended after 10 days with England needing 42 to win with 5 wickets left. I mean, and Andy Zaltzman, our stats guru on Test Match Special, he dug out how long South Africa were in the field in that final innings. And by modern equivalents, because they bowled 8-ball overs in those days, it was over 200 8-ball overs. He worked it out. It was something like 296 ball overs that South Africa were in the field for England, 652 for five. Imagine that. You wrote that book, A Lot of Hard Yakka. I mean, that was the ultimate hard yakka. Anyway... Well, they won't agree to that. They'll this game will end.
It's beyond their pay grade, isn't it? We're not paid enough for that. Yeah. Well, it's a shame if it does end in a draw in a way, especially if it's a rain-affected draw. Yeah. But what can you do? And, I mean, it was ever thus, I suppose, about English cricket.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we keep our fingers crossed for the fourth official day of this match. I can see some spots of rain on the window panes already of the hotel that we're staying in. So, you know, rain tomorrow, 2 days left in the game. I mean, it could, you know, New Zealand have got the chance to get a lead and then bowl India out. That's one obvious route to a positive outcome in the game. But India will not, you know, they'll not budge an inch. They'll be fighting the whole way to, you know, if they can't win the game, to draw it and you know, not be defeated in the first ever World Test Championship final. Anyway, if there is play tomorrow, Yoz, we'll be back around about this time to review it. I mean, if there is play, how much is there going to be? So, but we'll see on that one. And if not, we'll be back after the fifth day, and we're pretty confident there will be some play on the fifth day of the game and on the sixth day, but not the seventh day or the eighth day or the tenth day or whatever.
I feel like I've been here about 2 weeks already. Anyway, well, fingers crossed for tomorrow, and thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.